The following podcast is brought to you by the new AT&T.
Welcome to the official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. We hope you enjoyed our first video podcast of the year. Periodically, through the rest of the season, we'll be bringing you some more video podcasts that will take us behind the scenes at Lost. Coming up next month, our video podcast will give you a sneak peek at a scoring session with Michael Giacchino. This is, of course, a follow-up on last year's audio-only version. We just figured it would be nice to actually see an Anklung in action. Of course, we'll also have our regular audio podcast with the writers of Lost each episode, with some other surprises coming up later this season. Which brings us to today's podcast. Executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse will join us to discuss the first episode back. They'll also entertain some fan questions and preview next week's episode, Flashes Before Your Eyes, which airs on Wednesday, February 14th from 10 to 11 p.m. It's the perfect Valentine's Day viewing. First up, though, we have a special featurette with the castaway who's been shot, stabbed, and electrocuted, and yet lived to tell the tale, actor Josh Holloway.
That's a hobby of yours, underdog? Digging holes?
Yep. That and basket weaving. Want one?
Happen to have a tunnel to the main one?
No, but I've got a boat. Can we use it? Yeah? We've got to hurry.
Hold on a second, sister. You just happened to find us in the woods. You just happen to have a boat, and you're going to let us use it, huh?
There's something we need to do first.
Oh, gee.
It's now become an integral part of the show, Sawyer's trash-talking, name-calling habits. So when we sat down with him, naturally, we asked him how much of a hand he plays in Sawyer's little nasty habit.
They're all the writers. I would love to claim them, but fact is, those guys are brilliant. And I love their writing style because, yes, they have a definite plan. They know what's up, but they're also very sensitive to the actor's personalities and write around it. The nickname thing, I always give people nicknames, and Damon hung out for the first month in the pilot, and he just would incorporate our personalities. So I think that kind of, Sawyer was already kind of that way, but then they're like, the nickname thing is funny, you know, so they went with that and it stuck. I remember I called Maggie Sweet Cheeks on my own on the pilot, and then it kind of rollerballed, you know, from there. Freckles was in there that day when I took the gun from her, and then I just called Shin and Sweet Cheeks, and then it went from there. It's been every script. There's something in there.
You sure Mike went this way?
Why do you ask?
Oh, I don't know, Mr. Clean. I probably would have gone around Mount Vesuvius.
Why'd you pick that name?
Ain't it obvious? All you need's an earring and a mop.
What I would like to see is a few nicknames that stick, like Freckles stuck. You know, it's the nature of, if you hang out with friends long enough, then one sticks, and that's the one you call them. You know, like Mr. Clean for Locke. I love that. I should just call him Clean all the time, you know. But I don't know. They're the geniuses. I just do it.
With Sawyer headed back to the beach, it's only a matter of time before he has a chance to flex his name-calling muscles again, which I'm sure the rest of the castaways have missed. To find out what we've been missing, though, we now turn it over to executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse for a recap of last week's episode.
Well, hi, it's Carlton Cuse here.
Is this a new way of introducing the podcast?
Yes, I thought we'd change it up a little bit right now that we're back for season 2, 3B,
I was
3.1 or whatever they're calling it.
I wasn't prepared, so do it again.
Hi, Damon.
Hi, Carlton. That's the old way we did it.
Well, here we are, and at least you know I'm Carlton, and sitting to my left
is the other guy.
Is Damon, the other guy. And we're back We hope you guys enjoyed the episode last night as much as we enjoyed the fact that we're finally back on the air. That is exciting, isn't it?
It is. And now, you know, apparently there's going to be 15 straight episodes without a single repeat.
Well, 16 counting last night.
Well, yeah.
Let's don't give up
last night. From now on, 15 more.
Exactly.
So you can begin complaining now that that's not enough. I think, well, actually, start complaining around 12 more.
Okay.
That seems like it would give us the benefit of the doubt for a couple more weeks. Because theoretically, it could be argued that 24 is 8 better than we are because they do 24 straight.
They are 8 better than we are.
There's
no question about it. However, they don't have a class at Tufts University that is using this podcast as required reading. That is true. And
required,
by the way,
but it's not even reading.
It's like, have you ever gotten a traffic ticket and done one of those online traffic school things where they have certain words in there to make sure that you actually study them all? So the word is Busby. If you have not listened to this podcast, your teachers are going to say, what was the magical word? And then you won't know it. The word is Busby.
My life is complete if a teacher or a professor at Tufts University comes in and says, what is the magic word? And 90 hands go up and they all say Busby. That is, I can literally die a happy man if that happens.
Okay.
What's become of Tufts University? Seriously. What do you have to do to get in? I thought that was a great university. Now that this podcast is required.
It is a very good university.
Well,
you have it.
All right, Busby.
Okay, let's talk about Not in Portland. What did you like about last night's episode, Damon?
Well, Carlton, I liked so many things. Most importantly, I think Elizabeth Mitchell is just awesome on the show. You know, it's so hard to bring a new character in, and, you know, as we experienced last season with bringing in the Tailies, the fans are so proprietary about the original survivors of Flight 815, it's always really a challenge to, you know, get them to sort of bond up with someone new, and I really feel Elizabeth has been such an amazing addition to the cast, and it's very complicated for her to play an other that we like. And especially in the wake of Michael Emerson, who's just astonishing. I just think she's really come into her own, and, you know, I'm just really, really stoked about Juliet.
Excellent. Well, I did all of your sentiments, and I just don't think I can really add anything to that. However, I do see here that Chris, our producer, has asked us to talk about Juliet's backstory and how her specialty in fertilization potentially plays into the other's mission. Does that mean they were clearing that big swath for crops if she's an expert in fertilization?
I think so. And I think there's some sort
of... What kind of fertilization were you hoping that she was specializing
Chris,
in, Chris?
What are you talking about?
Have you watched the show, Chris?
Some sort of manure expert? All right.
All right.
Chris actually laughs at our jokes and makes us feel good about ourselves when you sit at home and talk about how corny we are.
So Kate and Sawyer escaped from the island. Thank God. Are we done with that frickin' island? Are we done with the Hydra Station? Are we done with Alcatraz? Are we getting back to our main island? I mean, oh, please, what about the people on the beach, Naaman?
I would basically say
enough.
I would say that in the pre-hash of next week's episode, we will not be anywhere near Alcatraz Island.
Thank God.
The entire story does not take place anywhere near there. But there is one more episode, yes, that basically, because Jack got left behind, so, you know, we gotta sort
deal
of
with him.
We sort of have to wrap up what are the after effects of Juliet shooting, our friend Mr. Bowen.
But that's not next week. That's going to be the week after next.
Next week,
will actually be originating on the beach.
So I just did like a pre-pre-hash.
That was a pre-pre-hash. That was an episode 9 pre-hash.
The word again is Busby. Busby.
In case you jumped in late.
Okay, now here's the thing, guys. If you were just listening to the beginning of the podcast and you think that you're going to get by on the magic word being Busby, we are changing the magic word to Frodo. The new magic word is Frodo.
Yeah, so people who listened to the beginning and shut it off and went to hang out in, like, the Tufts pub.
The quad. Is that where you hang out at college? The Tufts quad? Now the new magic word is Frodo. But
Frodo.
Anyway, yeah, so we are leaving Alcatraz Island. And where might the others bring Jack, Carlton? Have we seen them living anywhere else?
They have a Holiday Inn across the ridge towards the tail section crash site.
It's fantastic, with clean towels.
That's fantastic. What about Alex and Carl? And what was with those crazy glasses?
Those glasses. You can own a pair of those glasses for $9,000.
Why are you wearing them right now?
I like to put them on. I think they're flashy. And
are you going
to
sing an Elton John song?
I am. I am going to sing an Elton John song. I'm going to dress up like a big duck when I do
Goodbye,
it.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
That's what he does.
That's fantastic.
I think those glasses, I credit to Stephen Williams, who is the director of this episode.
Yeah.
Basically, every once in a while, as producers, we will get back dailies or see a show, and we'll see something like that in it, and have no idea that it was coming, and that is a, you know, pun intended, part of Steven's unique vision. I don't know what those glasses are all about, but I guess when you're watching that screen through them, it's even trippier than normal. But what was going on in that screen? It feels like there are a lot of little Easter eggs buried
there
in
is.
There.
There's a pretty good Easter egg. You know, there's an anagram in episode 7 that is an important clue about something that will...
I'm sure everybody's figured it out by now. It's the Middle-os.
Middle-os.
You know.
Lost time. Lost time. I would think
as
that
in,
would be important. If
as
we...
in, you lost time between the hours of 10 and 11 p.m. watching the show last week.
No, I thought you were losing time now listening to this podcast.
That is also another...
But if you're driving in traffic somewhere and listening to it, then it's probably okay.
The fact that someone is getting college credit for listening to this...
Is it not the
end of days? Are the four horsemen not pounding down on us right now? How can this possibly be occurring?
I think these guys deserve full tenure at any university in America.
Hey, it's time for questions.
Time for your fan questions. Cue the music, Chris.
Thanks,
okay, Damon, I'm starting right into her. This is from JustBlaze05. A lot of posts, 315 posts in the last 90 days, which is, considering we haven't been on in the last 90 days, that's a lot of posts. Hi, Damon. Hi, Carlton. Is there a chance we can write an application for an extra In You series? I think the biggest moment in life of a Lost fan is to run through the screen during transmission. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I know how answer question.
You can run through this transmission right now, if you'd like.
Yes, it would be great to be an extra on Lost, or to be someone running around in the background. But as our friends Nikki and Paolo have already proven to us, you better prepare yourself
for a lot
to
of
be
criticism.
Completely hated by everybody and their mother. DNC, where's the podcast? This is from I Like Locke, who has 247 posts in the last 90 days.
Well, JustBlaze05 had 315.
So
don't post that many times. We'll think you're crazy.
They're basically huge podcast fans, and to paraphrase the first part of their email, they basically are saying that they love the podcast, that they missed it over the 3-month hiatus, and I feel like a plane lost over the Pacific being torn apart. I miss you guys.
Thank you so much.
You make the show twice as much fun to watch. I suggest I Like Locke applies to Tufts immediately. P.S., here we go. If you're too busy trying to decide, just write Paolo's death and make it a quick one. That way you'll have plenty of time to get back into the office for our podcast. In fact, we don't even need to see how he dies. Just let us know he did die. Here's an example of dialogue. Feel free to use it word for word. So you might want to take out your pen.
All right, got my pen. Hold
Locke.
On. Right hand. Yeah.
Locke says, is everyone who's going with us to get Jack, Kate, and Sawyer ready? Hurley, Charlie, Desmond, Saeed, and Nikki all nod their heads. Then Hurley says, hey, Nikki, where's your boyfriend? Nikki goes, who? And Charlie says, Paco or Pablo or whatever his name is. Nikki says, oh, he died yesterday. Let's go.
Awesome.
There, I already wrote it for you. Now get podcasting.
Awesome. That is fantastic. There was no question there, but it was still fantastic.
No, it was just a suggestion, and I felt since you segued so nicely.
I love Paolo, though.
I think you're going to be feeling really, really sorry about what you said about Paolo.
You'll be sad. But Nikki and Paolo they get a lot of planning upcoming episodes. So
thank God.
Yes, I know you'll change your mind.
Carlton is guaranteeing right now that you will change your mind.
I guarantee
about
you
Nikki
right now you will change your mind
or your
about
money
Nikki
back.
And Paolo. But there is no money involved. Okay, Damon, this is from Music Lost Life.
Wow.
The heading is Zoology.
Okay.
The animals on Lost seem to be very important. The polar bears, which appeared to be created by Walt, the bird in the season finale of season 2 that said Hurley's name, the shark that has been stamped with the Dharma Initiative. Mm-hmm. Then in your podcast, you said something about the Hydra Station. Will the animals have an important role in the third season?
I guess. We've already seen the polar bear again in season 3, and you know, the Hydra station is basically a zoological station where it would appear they've done all sorts of experiments on animals. We know that where Jack was staying was an aquarium where they worked on dolphins and
Sawyer was in a polar bear cage.
That's right.
We know that.
That's absolutely true.
So maybe when the Dharma Initiative blew out of there, then maybe the polar bear got away.
What other kind of animals do you think were there that we haven't even seen yet? Map and Gwari.
Map and Gwari, yeah.
Wow.
You think they would have a Map and Gwari? That would be an unusual
discovery.
I bet
you most people don't even know what a Map and Gwari is.
But they will go look that up, Map and Gwari.
How do you spell Map and Gwari?
I don't know how to spell Map and Gwari, but it's a...
It's MAPANGUARI.
So maybe you do know how to spell it.
That's how I would spell it if I were doing a Google search.
Right. There also are finches.
Birds, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, and they were Dharma finches.
Wow. I can't wait to see them.
Hey, Tough Guy, the new word, Dharma finch.
Dharma finch. or in Tough Gal, too.
Tough Gals. Well, I meant guys in the guy-gal.
If Alex is Ben's biological daughter, then, from Julie Nanny, 579 posts in the last 90 days. Well, that's
Jesus.
A new record. So, if Alex is Ben's biological daughter, then not all the others are sterile. That would debunk the theory that the survivors' children were taken by the others because they can't have their own. It would also lead one to question why they need a fertility doctor like Juliet.
So what was the question?
The question, I guess, is Alex Ben's biological daughter?
Well, I think that it's clear that Alex is Ben's daughter, but I don't know that it's been made clear that she is his biological daughter. It would be very odd,
in fact,
wouldn't it?
It would be odd or it would be very coincidental because I think there's somebody running around on the island who says that their daughter was named Alex.
The crazy woman who says she's French but actually has a Middle European accent.
That might be the right person. So I would sort
why
of.
Why did anybody think she was the French woman? I mean, why don't they say? Why don't they call her the Serbian woman?
Because she's speaking French on that on the broadcast in the original pilot. So
when you speak French over breakfast, should I call you the French man?
No, just call me Damon.
Okay. All right, Damon.
Yes, sir.
Damon and Carlton. This is posted by Suki Day, 79 posts in the last 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Damon and Carlton, sexier than Jack or Sawyer. Ooh. Well, that's not my question, just my statement. You two know how we women have those dreams about Jack and Sawyer? Well, I've been having them about you two since the first video cast. Go figure. My question, was that Desmond in the foreground of the shot when Michael was brought into the faux others encampment? Please keep up the good work. I have adored Lost from the very beginning and will continue to watch through the seasons of the zombies.
Well, sir, thank you very much for your kind words about Carlton and I. They were very flattering. That was not Desmond. It was an extra who probably looked a great deal like Desmond. And that's really the only way I can answer it. Again, I'm blushing right now. Thank you, sir, for that those kind words. And I have one more question for you, Carlton.
Okay.
Eye Candy Redheads, Not So Serious, I Think It's Time, by Curious George, 66, NBZ. Just one post, and this is it. So I feel we should
that's
honor
good.
Curious
awesome.
George.
That's good. Awesome.
I think this is one of the most important issues that ever will be. Why are there not more redheads on Lost? Redheads are great. There are already tons of hot women on Lost. Why not redheads? Another question. Why is it that the show is in its third season and we are only on our first sex scene? And I don't count that Saeed one by far. If I were on a deserted mysterious island with hot women, that would be all I would try to do.
The question is, would they be wanting to do it back with him?
I kind of want to know why Saeed doesn't count.
Saeed
and Shannon had sex. Why does that not count?
And Sun and Jin had sex, too.
And Bernard and Rose.
And Bernard and Rose have had a lot of sex. We haven't shown that yet.
I think you can eliminate the word yet from that sentence and just sort of say
that's
it's
not happening.
They're lovely people, but...
You know, we have... There's been an evolution in season 3 of the show, and that evolution is very significant, and that evolution is this... When characters have sex on Lost, they don't necessarily die. That is a big advancement in the storytelling. That we actually had a revelation over breakfast one morning. It was like, hey, Damon, what if we actually had characters have sex on the show and they didn't die?
Yet.
Yet.
Yeah, I said, that's definitely a step in the right direction.
Oh, that's very good.
But okay, well, thanks. I guess
we'll try to have some redhead sex. Maybe the zombie season would be a good time to have some redhead sex.
Yeah, I guess that's a good time to bring redheads onto the show. Zombies.
Redheaded zombies. That's going to be my band name.
So what's up next week? Flashes Before Your Eyes?
Before Your Eyes. That's the Desmond story, isn't it?
That's what I hear. That's the sort of rumor going around, and I can only imagine based on the promo from at the end of Not in Portland that some significant answers are going to come out as to what happened to Desmond after he turned that failsafe key.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd like to know, you know, what happened.
You would?
Yeah. Are we going to learn how he ended up, you know, naked in the jungle? Like how the Hash blew his clothes off?
Well, I'd still like to know how you ended up naked in the jungle the last time we went down to Hawaii, but that's a story for another podcast.
You know.
And something Suki man, whatever his name is, would probably love to hear.
That is a woman.
By the way,
I'm sorry.
The final magic word is Suki. Suki is the final. For those of you who have made it to the end of the podcast, that is Tough Students. Suki is the word.
Okay. Suki. Well, on that note, I think we should say aloha.
Aloha. Mahalo.
And
we'll talk to you next week. It's so nice to be back.
Peace out.
Later, Carlton.
Bye, Damon.
That brings us to the end of this podcast. Join us again next week for more mayhem and fan questions with Damon and Carlton. And if you want to rewatch last night's episode, just go to abc.com where you can stream that and other recent shows from our network. Flashes Before Your Eyes airs Wednesday, February 14th from 10 to 11 p.m. only on ABC.
This is for Mac McKinney. Mac, your chance has passed to play professional ball, but you can live vicariously through Vince Young's rookie year. You've obviously seen how he plays. Now see how he lives with AT&T Home Turf. Just go online to attblueroom.com/sports for exclusive access into your favorite athletes' worlds. See inside Vince's home and check out the AT&T technology that keeps him connected. So that's Mac's world. For everyone who's not Mac, if we can deliver his favorite quarterback to him, we've got what it takes to deliver your favorite athletes to you. The new AT&T. Your world, delivered.